Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
Hello, once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and we're going to be talking about what's going on in the PGA Tour and the PGA Tour Champions. Both have events this weekend. Different coasts. One is in, as we probably, if you follow golf, all know, in Los Angeles area at the Genesis Invitational at Riviera. A tournament that's been going on in different sponsor names, if you will, but for years and years and decades. So we'll talk about that. Some great, great golf happening there as the players are just actually attacking Genesis and Riviera like maybe never before. Records already being set, so we'll talk about that. And the PGA Tour Champions, and we'll bring that up. They're playing in Naples, Florida at the Chubb Classic because our good friend Paul Stankowski, who we had on just last week, and he was actually packing as we spoke to him to go qualify. He had to Monday qualify to get into the Chubb in Naples, and he did it. And not only did he do it, he's in great shape. So we'll talk about that, too, coming up in just a little bit. Frank Bassett, as always, in our Nashville studios. How you doing, Frank?
Doing good. Doing really good. It's cold here. It was 70 degrees. The next day, it was 34.
I'm telling you, I know people want to blame kind of everything on global warming, I think there's just a weirdness about weather, and maybe it's always been that way, and we just don't, you know, it's like everything else. We didn't necessarily notice because we didn't have apps and everything telling us what the temperature was every other minute of the day. And but here in Dallas, it's, listen to this, Frank, it's a nice day today, and it's supposed to be 70 or so today and tomorrow. That would be Saturday, Sunday. Monday and Tuesday, it's 80. Thursday, they say we might have some ice. So it goes from Monday and Tuesday, 80, to a possibility of ice on Thursday.
Hang on a second. I need to make a phone call. Yeah, I'm going to call Al Gore and see if he can help us with that.
What the heck is going on? I mean, that's just...
Sorry.
It's nuts. It's crazy. It's like a 50-degree drop that they say. Now, they're not always right. We, you know, you hear me all the time ragging on
you don't like
the meteorologist, but... Still, that's even if they're kind of close to it, that's going to be a drastic change. So, yeah. It's hard to book your tee times, isn't it, when you don't know exactly in a part of the country where we can play golf year-round, and that's a good thing. A lot of people up I have a family up in Chicago area where I'm originally from, don't even think about golf until May or June, right, and haven't thought about it since November. So I get it. I mean, it's still a nice option to have, but it's crazy.
It is. It's nuts. It's been up and down here like crazy in our golf course. My God, you can't putt the greens. I mean, you breathe on the golf ball, they run off the other side. They're so fast right now.
They're just hard.
Hard. Yeah, hard and fast. And
don't even know if they grow. I mean, grass probably is dormant, I'm sure, probably, right? So
Our course is, you know, they overseed and do all sorts of nice stuff. It's a really pretty club course, of course.
Yeah, the greens, though, are going to be different because the wintertime it's... But, you know, playing at the we were talking about the Genesis, they had a heat wave go through there. Remember, the Super Bowl was just last week. Congratulations to the Rams. A lot of good things happening in the L.A. area in the last couple of weeks. But they played the Super Bowl, and it was a heat wave.
Yeah.
Temperatures uncharacteristically around 90, 85, 90 degrees, which normally this time of year in L.A. area, it's like upper 60s. So it was really hot.
You saw the parade, right, in L.A. with the team?
Some of it, yeah.
Okay, so there was a female young lady, photographer, that was taking pictures, and Stafford was looking at her, fell
good
off
point.
Backwards off the stage, and Stafford went, whoa, and just turned around.
That was really bad.
That was a bad image for him, although his wife jumped out there to check and see if she was okay.
Because I believe the woman photographer was taking pictures of the two of them, I think,
and
they were like kind of right in front of her. She didn't realize she only had another 2 feet to go, and she took three steps backwards off of the 10-foot stage.
And took a tumble.
And just went back. And when she did that, which looked terrible, we could only see from another camera behind her, didn't see her land, but she obviously had to land hard. And Stafford had a bottle of water in his hands. He sees her. He's looking right at her when she's taking a picture. He mouths, whoa, something like that, like, oh, my gosh, whoa, and then turns and goes the other way and takes a drink of water, almost like it didn't happen.
Well, you know.
And then his wife kind of went over to the edge, and she got down on her knees and was like, I'm sure, trying to say, do you need some help? Or other people came to her aid and everything to the woman photographer, who fractured a bone in her back.
Yeah.
So it was very serious. And now, too late maybe for the image thing, but Staffords have said that they're going to pay for her hospital stay and her camera equipment.
Well, money fixes everything, doesn't
equipment.
It? Money,
but it's just, you're right. It
money
was just
buys
a
character.
Terrible thing. He's a
Good
local
Lord.
Kid here, and everybody was so happy to see him win a Super Bowl and all that after years in Detroit. But that was terrible.
That was bad. That was just bad imagery.
You don't just walk away and act like it didn't happen. I mean, she obviously fell hard from very high up.
I don't know. That was bad. There's some people on the media said, he went, whoa, when he turned around to see if there was anybody that could help. No,
they didn't. No. Because he took a drink out of his water bottle.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He looked casual is what I'm saying. He didn't turn around and act frenzied at all. Or like, took a sip of water like he's just going to go talk to some people. I was like, seriously, okay. If someone just fell off a state, I mean, that was very bad.
Look,
I don't know what he's going to come out with and apology or whatever else. But anyway, that was now let's talk about another image situation here, Frank. How about Lefty?
Yeah.
What's going on with Phil Mickelson, who's now going down two paths and scorching both of them he's going down?
I think he's invading the Ukraine, is he not? I mean, that's next up.
Here's go back a few weeks when they were all playing in Saudi Arabia, a number of guys, right? And they got their guaranteed money, whatever that might have been, I'm sure, in the millions, to go play. And Dustin Johnson and DeChambeau and a lot of big-name guys were playing. And did not play on the tour event that week in Torrey Pines, I guess, right? Was the thing on the PGA Tour.
Yep.
Well, now Phil is admitting and saying, and there's an autobiography coming out, so a lot of this is part of that part, that there's interviews being done because there's a big autobiography about Phil coming out, that he's and a few other guys paid attorneys to basically drop the business plan for the Saudi-backed tour, which will be part of the Asian tour, however they're kind of roughly doing it. He said he's recruited about 20 guys that would join the tour. But while he's saying all that, did you see his quote? Here's his quote about the Saudi Arabians that are backing it. It's the Saudi family, the royal family, is backing it financially, this new tour, to try to entice a lot of the top golfers in the world with money, as you just said about Stafford, right? You can buy your way out of things. They're trying to throw all kinds of money at big name guys to say, hey, let's play in this new tour. Let's do that. Greg Norman is behind it. He then says that the Saudis family are scary mothers to get involved with, that they've been known to do some bad things with human rights. They've done other things. And he goes, so you ask the question, why would I want to be involved with them? And he then says, well, I don't know that I do, but I'm kind of using this to get leverage against the PGA Tour because, as we all probably know for the last couple of weeks, he's called them greedy, PGA Tour. He said that Monahan, the commissioner, won't do anything right unless he's pushed into a corner. So he's now, I would imagine, ticked off the Saudi family and that tour. And certainly the PGA Tour. So where's Phil left? Where's he going to go?
Monahan's not going to send the kids from Camp Pontevedra to do anything bad to Phil.
No.
Now.
But
the other boys are pretty tough.
Phil, guys are getting, you don't want enemies there, do you?
You don't want your bust put on a pedestal ahead of time, Phil, so I'd be real cool about this right now.
He says the PGA Tour, he accuses them of obnoxious greed.
Oh, yeah.
And basically says that they won't do anything unless we force them. This is giving us a chance to force them into saying, okay, we'll do some other things to make things better for you. In the meantime, we've heard Bryson DeChambeau has been offered up to $130 million to be kind of a front player of that Saudi-backed tour. By the way, that $130 million, Frank, is more than Tiger has made in his career. Just as a rough number. Now, certainly Tiger's made a lot of money outside of golf, but his golf winnings are less than what DeChambeau is being offered, guaranteed money by the Saudis. It's significant, right? It'll turn your head, despite what you might think about that family or that country or anything else. It's almost limitless money they can throw at you, which, again, to Mickelson's point, is going to maybe make the PGA Tour go, okay, guys, back up. We talked to Paul Stankowski about this, Frank, a couple weeks ago.
We did.
When we had Frank, had him on before going to the Chubb tournament that we'll talk about in a second. And he said, and I agree, there would be some nice changes, and we've talked about this before. The fact that there shouldn't be a cut, or if there is a cut, everybody still gets money. That part, okay, they could change. The tour has a lot of money, and Phil's point is they don't spend it like he thinks they should. This might force them to do those kinds of things. What we mean by that is even if you go play at the Genesis and you miss the cut, there's still, make up a number, $10,000 that goes to all 150, 144 guys that are in the field. You get at least that, so it'll cover your expenses. You don't lose money by going and playing a tournament, which you do now if you miss the cut. So those kind of things maybe could help. Certainly a guy like Phil doesn't care. The top guys don't care. They're rich. But we all know that the PGA Tour is filled with mostly not Phil Mickelsons, right? Not
yeah,
Jordan Spieth.
Absolutely.
It's filled with guys that are hoping to call their wife and say, I made the cut, honey.
Yeah.
We can pay the mortgage,
yeah,
right?
No kidding.
That's the reality.
You can turn the heat up to 62.
Yeah. We can send the kids to school.
Yeah.
That's the reality. It's very different than pro athletes in other sports as far as guaranteed money goes.
Is, you know, there is a player advisory board that Phil has served on. We don't know what goes on in those meetings, but we know that there's going to be a meeting at the Honda, and Monahan's going to hold this meeting with the players.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of this is going to
come to a head.
I would love to. And the media center is always next door to where the player meeting is. So I may fly down there for
drill
this
a hole
one.
Through the wall.
Oh, it's going to be a bloodbath, I'm afraid. And here's the other rumor, or maybe we shouldn't talk about that other rumor. We should save that for the next segment. But
okay,
yeah, there's something else that was said about or in regard to Mr. Mickelson.
What you mean is other players?
Yeah.
He's not necessarily getting the consensus of everybody behind him saying, here's what we're going to do. And let's also look at it this way. Phil is in a unique position. Phil is past his prime. Great year last year, everybody, PGA Championship and everything else. Nobody expects him to probably do much or dominate, certainly, and maybe even be a factor on the regular PGA Tour, right? He's kind of slowly moving into the champions.
Right.
So he's in a different category than a lot of these guys to say, okay, well, what Phil says and what Phil can do is different than almost all the rest of us. And okay, that's a fair. So do you want Phil to be your spokesman? That's got to be a conversation a lot of those guys are going to be having is, Phil, maybe you need to back off and let us, the guys who are in the middle of our careers, kind of dictate what's going on here. Because if it scorches some earth, Phil's not going to pay the price. Phil's fine. If nobody lets him play ever again, Phil's fine. If the Saudis say you can't play with us and Monahan says you can't play with us, Phil can go play with his buddies in Vegas and still make a pretty good living probably, right? But the other guys are in a different boat. The other guys are in a different boat. The ones we're talking about who try to get their tour card every year. The guys on the Korn Ferry who are trying to get to that level might be saying, shh, shh.
Well, the folks we've talked to, and we both know this, the players that we've talked to in the past weeks when all this started up again, have been very, well, I don't want to say anything. They're walking on eggshells. And I don't blame them because the retribution is written into that contract. I mean, behavior unbecoming to a PGA Tour professional? Well, and the morals clause and the negativity clause. And, oh, my God,
you've
got to be careful.
A quote from Phil. The PGA Tour likes to pretend it's a democracy. It's really a dictatorship. They divide and conquer. The concerns of the top players are very different from the guys who make their own situations better. But the top guys don't have a say in what's going on. It's not unlike what Greg Norman tried to do. How long ago was that, Frank? 25 years ago? He wanted to maybe start his own world tour.
Yeah, a little longer than that. Yeah. Now, well, that's when the WGC World Golf Championships came into being because of that.
And so at that time, Greg Norman was the king of the hill, and he could say kind of what he wanted because he was set. And we all know now he's a freaking billionaire, right? He's one of those guys that it wasn't just about golf. He made all kinds of money. Well, so for a lot of them, they're like, okay, you're better than most of us. You're winning a lot more. You've made a lot of money, but you're not speaking for us, right? There's a difference there.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying they're not speaking for some. Some guys might be completely behind Phil and say that's what needs to be done because, just as you said, the WGC was developed out of that. Well, so sometimes when you stir the pot, and that was, of course, Dean Beaman? Was he the commissioner then?
Yes, he was.
I believe.
Yep.
Right, so a whole different administration.
Back up further. Back up further.
Yeah.
Let's go back to 1968.
Okay.
You know what happened in 68? The formation of the PGA Tour. And who formed that? Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, and one other man. And I can't believe I'm forgetting his name. Another player.
Another top player?
Yeah.
Like Weisskopf or somebody?
No. I was wanting to say Gay Brewer. It wasn't Gay. It was, I'll come up with it. Sorry, I shouldn't have brought that up since I don't know the third. But basically, Palmer and Nicklaus started it up with a third guy.
Okay.
Sound familiar?
Yeah.
And the PGA Tour spun off of the PGA of America because the players didn't think they were getting the fair shake from the PGA of America. So this sounds very much like it, just with a modern day spin.
Yeah. And that's why I don't know that it's as
dramatic. Of in your face, basically.
As dramatic as Phil's making it, or people are making it out about Phil, because I think I bring up a name, and I think I said this to you the other day, we were talking, Kurt Flood. And Kurt Flood was the guy who basically took the hit in baseball, Major League Baseball, when they wanted to get rid of the clause in every player's contract that you are a Cleveland Brown, I'm sorry, a Cleveland Indian, you're a Chicago Cub, you're a New York Yankee for life. We have your rights for life. And Kurt Flood stood up and said, no, that's not right. I should be able to finish my contract and be free to go where I want to go, free agency. Well, and we all know where baseball's gone in that 50-year gap since then, and a lot of guys owe money to Kurt Flood because had that not happened, who do you negotiate with? Well, you didn't have any leverage, right? You were an Atlanta Brave, and that's what you were. And when your contract was up, your only negotiation was re-sign with the Atlanta Braves or don't play baseball. Now, free agency, I go in, now I get more money. So Phil, I think, is trying to go, okay, we can do kind of the same thing. We can have more freedom. We can have more control over our lives and not have, in his opinion, the dictatorship of the PGA Tour telling us the where, whens, and whys. A lot of this, too, and I'm going to ask you a question here, Frank, and maybe you have the answer, maybe you don't. He says, we don't control our media rights. And I'm not sure what that means. Does that mean, like, when Phil and Tiger wanted to do their own $10 million winner-take-all thing, it still had to go through the PGA Tour, that they don't have the freedom to do that stuff on their own? What media rights don't
those
guys have?
Because
certainly they make money off of commercials and things that they do for their equipment and whatnot.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what he meant by that. I think they don't control. They have to pay a certain amount to use, you know, their swing. I mean, their
image?
Their image, yeah, media from tournaments, things of that nature. Whereas we as the media can use that.
Yeah.
So I was going to call Phil and see if he wanted me to post it for him. Oh, no, I'm kidding, PGA Tour. I'm joking. Let's laugh. Ha, ha, ha. I don't know. This is, it's uncovering a lot of smelly, nasty, ugly things.
Yeah.
That every family has. Every family has crap they have to deal with.
And maybe it has to be aired out. I mean, to keep your analogy going, maybe it needs to. I mean, I don't know where this is going to go, but maybe. And as I said, the one thing that sticks out to me is the losing money when you're playing pro golf if you're not playing well enough on Thursday and Friday. Okay, I think they do need to make that change. And if there's others like that that would make life a bit better, people don't sympathize with pro golf because they think, what better life is there than to be a pro golfer? You play golf. Like, all of us have to pay to play golf. You can play forever as opposed to other sports. Get it. You're only playing for till you're 30, then you're over the hill. And all those things make it. But, again, you have to look at the reality. There's only really 30, 50 top golfers that are really secure. You get past that number, and it becomes a very insecure world for a lot of those guys. And we've known a lot of them that have come and gone, and where the next thing you know, they're on the Corn Ferry. Next thing you know, they're playing Canadian Tour. Next thing you know, we talked about Stephen Bowditch on this show different times. Stephen Bowditch would be a perfect example. He won two tournaments in 2015 and 16, making millions for the 3-4 year window there, and then suddenly lost his game and haven't heard from him in 3 years. That happens so much more than people know. They just kind of go, oh, whatever happened to? And that happens a lot. So maybe if there's a way to help that type or those guys who have some more security versus just, I do like the fact of the PGA Tour. We've talked about this, like NASCAR, you earn what you get, right? You finish first, you get a big paycheck. You finish 50th, you get a smaller paycheck versus NBA and NHL and NFL. You win by 50, you get the same paycheck as if you got blown out by 3 touchdowns, right? There's
Pretty
something
much.
About that that makes
Pretty
you kind of go, well, how are you motivated to do better? Because you still get the same check, LeBron James. Whether you win a championship or miss the playoffs completely, your check's the same.
Why did you bring up NASCAR? Is there something going on this weekend?
No.
Yeah. Because the Daytona 500 is.
Yeah. But those guys are the same, right? You win the race, here's your check. You finish 15th, here's your smaller check.
Yeah.
Right, so I appreciate
you
that
wreck,
is a difference.
Here are your papers, leave. You just destroyed a $2 million car.
That there is a difference there. But there's so much money in golf, Frank, and there's a lot of money in NASCAR. All these sports have so much money, they can't afford it. It reminds me a bit of of the NFL complaining that they're not doing enough, the league's not doing enough to protect their players, right? The concussion and all that other stuff. They're like, you guys have billions and billions of dollars. That's what you get in revenue from the networks and everything else. We need your help. We need you to make it safer for us. And they kind of had to push, right, to get that. Okay, we'll do it. We'll finally do that stuff. And I think Phil's saying the same thing. There's plenty of money in the nonprofit PGA Tour to help out and do better than what you're doing. And they do a lot for charity. They do a lot of great things. I don't think anybody wants to deny that or change any of that. But is there a better way that we can run this?
Yeah. Exactly.
Event, if you will, this league of the PGA Tour, and that's where Phil's using the Saudi-backed tour as leverage to say, okay,
well, I don't think I'd slap the Saudis like I wouldn't have slapped the PGA Tour like he did. So, you know, he's
opinionated. That's why, he is. Whenever Phil wants to, I mean, first of all, there's a reason Phil's almost in all those made-for-TV events. He's Phil. He speaks his mind. He's witty. He's funny. He's a regular guy. You don't have a lot of other guys in the PGA Tour who are a lot less colorful doing those events, even if they got game. We know they can hit the ball and all that. But when you actually need somebody who's a centerpiece for your league,
yeah.
Phil's been doing that for a long time. And to his credit, he's got personality to do that. So I think that the tour players have to also embrace that about Phil and say, Phil, you've done an awful lot. You've won a lot of majors, won to get there. You also have been a very strong symbol for us. If indeed the backroom talks that you're suggesting here involve all the players on the tour, not just helping Phil or the other multi-billionaires and the top 10 golfers,
right?
Then maybe they should listen and say, okay, Phil, maybe you're a little too loud of what you're saying, but maybe we kind of agree with what you're doing and see if it does lead to a better environment for a lot of those guys. So, hey, let's take a break here and let everybody simmer down from Phil talk and get back to.
I'm going to send you some Valium.
So what's going on? Well, it's a very you know, it's one of those things. It's like Jerry Jones, right? Any kind of publicity is good publicity. This isn't probably great for the tour, but then again, everybody's talking about it, aren't they? So maybe
yes, they are.
Maybe it's one of those things that, you know, kind of stirs the pot a little bit. But we'll talk more about the Genesis Invitational at Riviera, some great golf being played in the first couple of days, and a few more things. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and Frank and I will return right after this.
Okay, everybody, here's what you got to do. Golf season's back. It's time to add even more excitement to the PGA Tour season, so why don't you go start a pool on runyourpool.com and put your golf knowledge to a test, and it could be a real test. Run Your Pool makes it crazy easy to play alongside friends, family, office mates, maybe people you don't really like that you want to just beat the heck out of. Make every week more exciting, you know, whether it's one of the majors like the Masters or the Players' Championship or whatever tournament it may be. It can be great, exciting, and fun. If you're looking for a season-long or weekly contest, we've got it. From fantasy golf pools to one-on-one, or one-and-done pools, I should say, major pools, and even more. There's a contest for everybody out there, so you need to do it. Run Your Pool lets you run your games in your own way, your way. Every pool has a variety of different settings you can choose from to make it your very own, and you can brand your pool for your company, your local business, one of my favorites, your bar, or your golf club or country club or whatever that may be. Make sure you clear it with the golf club or country club before you use their name. And the bar. But I think the bars would like the promotion, don't you? There's a local pub that has been hosting one of these things for 20 years, a custom pool for 20 years. So what I want you to do is join the thousands of golf fans already making each week of the PGA Tour season more exciting by starting your pool today. Head to runyourpool.com/GTA and use the code PODCAST to get $10 credit towards your first pool. Now, when you use podcast, it's one word, PODCAST, one word, not podcast, okay? That's runyourpool.com/GTA. Check them out today.
Golf Talk America wants to welcome a new sponsor, HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip those trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it is America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh cuts back on time spent in the kitchen with meals ready in around 30 minutes or less, plus quick and easy meals including 20-minute recipes and low-prep and easy cleanup options. provide an even faster route to putting food on your table. Okay, so let's talk money, because a lot of people assume you pay more for HelloFresh because of the quality and how much easier it makes your life. Wrong, wrong, wrong on so many levels, folks. HelloFresh is actually 72% cheaper than a restaurant meal of the same quality. And you save on average over $65 per month when you order HelloFresh instead of grocery shopping. I just tried HelloFresh for the first time. And let me tell you, folks, I absolutely love it. No kidding aside, it was easy. I was skeptical, but the food was super fresh, easy to prepare, easy to clean up, and the portions were absolutely perfect. Not too much, not too little, just convenient and delicious. Ready to try HelloFresh? Go to HelloFresh.com/GTA16 and use code GTA16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. That's HelloFresh.com/GTA16 and use code GTA16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Frank here, and I've heard a lot of people talking about making money with crypto. Now, I'm a stock market guy, and beyond Bitcoin, I don't know beans about crypto. So I did a little research and found a YouTube channel called Crypto with James. James is cryptocurrency expert James McMahon, and he has history of success in crypto. His site is called Copy My Crypto, and it shows you the actual cryptocurrencies that he himself owns. So you can take, learn, or simply copy what he does. It's like having a family member in crypto who actually knows what they're doing. As an example, James's top pick for 2021 is a coin called Phantom, and it is currently up over 440 times from when he first made mention of it. Imagine if you had invested even $1,000 in just that one coin. The Crypto with James YouTube channel has over 15,000 subscribers and 1 million views. So join the 1,300 members who learn or copy James by going to copymycrypto.com/golftalkamerica. That's copymycrypto.com/golftalkamerica. You'll not only find proof of everything I've said, but Golf Talk America listeners can join for just $1. You won't find this offer anywhere else. That's copymycrypto.com/golftalkamerica.
And welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett with you. We're talking about what's going on. Well, a lot about Phil, but also what's going on in the PGA Tour at the Genesis. But Frank, I did mention earlier about we had Paul on, Stankowski.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Whoa. Oh. I hate to step on you on this, but remember there was something else we were going to say about this Phil situation that we kind of teased, and here it is.
Oh, that's right, what the other guys are saying.
Yeah,
sorry,
well, right. It's okay. A little bit of what they're saying, but some of the media, and you know how the media can be. I mean, yeah, the media center is like, sniffing everything, right?
Yeah.
Like a dog. Phil's not playing this week. He never misses Riviera, does he?
Doesn't seem like it.
Uh-uh. Why is he not playing this week? That was the rumor. Is the tour going to sanction him? Is the tour, after this meeting at the Honda, they didn't want to take away from Riviera. It's Tiger's event, right? So they didn't want some big hoopla going on. The rumor is that they just told Phil, you probably need to just stay away. Now, that's the rumor. That's not coming from you or me. That's the rumor there that's floating.
Well, let me ask you this. How much can they decide that? I mean, they does the tour have total decision-making over every individual event to say this guy can't play?
Yes, they can take us off the air tomorrow if they wanted to, okay? Yeah, they can. But they can say, Phil, you are officially sanctioned. You can play in no PGA Tour events for the next year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years,
but is there any
forever.
Precedent? Is there any precedent for that? Has that ever happened?
No.
Other than for offenses. I mean, you know, DJ
missed a year.
Drug involvement and usage and different. So there have been suspensions, you know, for that and missing because of that. But for no other reason than you criticize the tour? I'm seriously thinking that's never happened.
Anything that could possibly do damage our behavior unbecoming to a PGA Tour professional.
Well, I think they're
calling the tour obnoxious and greedy.
Well, yeah,
it's pretty bad.
But Frank, you have to. I mean, you know, you're on the side of the tour. It sounds like. Well, and I think at some point in the past, certainly people have criticized the tour. This can't be the first time. Now those words themselves have not been used that Phil used, but certainly in the last 70 years.
Well, this is a sensitive. This is so sensitive, and you know that. This is so sensitive. And Jay Monahan had said, if you want to go over there and play, you can do it, but don't come back. You can't come home.
But you notice what happened.
I know.
He changed his mind.
But then
he let him go over to Saudi Arabia.
Then one of his children that he let go over there turned around and bit his hand.
Well.
So what do you what do you do when you feed your dog and you pet it on the head and it bites you? You slap the crap out of it.
Well, I don't.
I don't hit my dog. Let's clean that up. I don't hit my dog. But what do you do? I mean, you know, you want to hit it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I don't know.
Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen in this meeting.
That's not the recourse the PGA Tour should be taking. They should be, in my opinion, saying, because that's exactly falling into what behavior Phil is talking about. They're dictators. And as soon as he goes, I don't like what's going on, I don't like this, and they say, okay, you sit on the sidelines, they're acting like dictators.
Well, what does a player do in the NFL when they criticize us? We had that happen in Tampa.
They criticize the league all the time. Now, if you go way above and beyond.
But your coach?
Yeah. During the game?
Well,
talking about that one incident. But guys in the league, from Aaron Rodgers to Tom Brady, have criticized NFL in general for different things. All the time they do it.
Yeah,
and they don't get kicked out of. They don't say you can't play because of criticism. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
if Phil had done something wrong against the rules, but to just verbally say, you know, that he doesn't like the way they're running things, I think it's a bad precedent for them to say, okay, then you can't. Now, if you're suggesting that maybe they just kind of strongly asked Phil not to play, they didn't order him not to play, but they said, Phil, this might, maybe there's an agreement there. That might be it. All comes out because, let's be honest, Phil's going to relay whatever happens out to the media. I mean, he doesn't keep quiet about this stuff. So if indeed he gets a phone call saying, okay, hey, Big Mouth, you now can't play, I think that's going to look really bad for the PGA Tour. To say you can't criticize us because you're going to look exactly like Phil's pointing out to everybody. And I think you're going to get golfers behind Phil saying, well, that's not right. We should have the freedom to say we're not happy about these decisions or what's going on without them telling us we can't play in an event. So
yeah,
you might
be right.
Maybe that was a strong suggestion they made, and he followed it.
I don't know what's going to happen, but something will come out of this player meeting.
Where are they next week? Honda?
Next week, yeah.
At Honda?
Yeah.
And is Phil scheduled to play? Do we know?
Yeah, I think so.
Interesting. Because Greg Norman kept playing. If we go back another 40 years to what we were talking about before.
Yep.
Greg Norman was stirring up a lot of dirt, and he kept playing on the tour. I mean, as they were basically saying, so you're trying to get somebody to compete with us and pull all of our guys away. They obviously, PJ Tour would be upset with that, but I don't remember Greg ever being suspended because of it. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't remember that. I know they weren't happy about it. But again, if indeed Justin Thomas had a quote, something to the effect of, Phil's acting selfish. I'm paraphrasing, but he's saying Phil's acting selfish. So some guys apparently aren't thinking that he's necessarily working for their own best interest as opposed to his. Justin Thomas and some other guys have definitely said, Rory McIlroy said, I don't know if this is the best thing in the world to do, the second tour. And he, who else has said, John Rahm and Colin Morikawa have all come out and said, I'm not going to play in the Saudi tour.
Right.
Right. So there have been guys already coming out saying, I'm not behind him. I'm not doing it. So that's.
I was wrong.
We don't know any more than that. We're going to see who's behind him and who's not. And if indeed Phil says, I'm not even sure if I want the Saudi tour to work. That's what's funny about this. As he keeps promoting or acting about it, he goes, I'm not even sure if I want him to make it work.
Wrong.
I just want the pressure.
Mickelson's not playing next week.
Oh, he's not?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. They had until Friday at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
Friday the 18th at 5 p.m. So, no, he's not playing.
Yeah.
So, hey, Phil, would you like to come down and attend the meeting anyway?
It's going to be crazy.
But, you know, like you say.
We'll see what comes out of it.
Shake some things out.
Maybe
it changes for the good. Who knows?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of good things that happen with the tour. And as I said, a lot of local charities get millions and millions of dollars
from
all these different tour stops. There's plenty of good things that happen. But you and I are certainly in the middle of it. We're not players. We're not. So I don't know what their.
Well, we're governed by them, though, as media. We're governed by the rules of the tour. And we have a lot of meetings about that. Conference calls and all sorts of stuff. Because we're PGA Tour credentialed. I mean, it's not like just having a golf talk radio show. We're a PGA Tour credentialed show.
But I'm saying, as a player, the interest and the lack of whatever they might feel from the tour, I'm not aware of, right? I mean, we don't live that, so I'm not sure if there is something that's that they all kind of, in their quiet moments, kind of go, that's just ridiculous that the tour does. So I don't know. I mean, if there's, we've had Sankowski, and he's normally pretty opinionated too. He hasn't, you know, gone scorched earth on the tour.
No, he hasn't.
But he's currently playing.
But he did go scorched earth at the Chubb too. So he's playing.
Did you see what he shot?
Yeah, 5 under, wasn't it?
Shot a little 5 under. Only three guys ahead of him after the first round. So, despite the fact he had to qualify,
I sent him a text and said, "Great playing." So he responded back. Said thanks. Yep. You know.
So, of course, Bernhardt is, as always, leading the pack at 8 under. But, as you said, Retief Goosen and Paul Sankowski at 5 under, just a few shots back. So we'll see if he can finish the deal. But, good going for him. And that tournament is in Naples, Florida.
Yes, it is at Tiburon. Let's see. Who owns Tiburon?
I don't know that. Who does own? I guess you do.
I think it's Greg Norman. I swear, it's Greg Norman.
Yeah,
maybe. I think. I'm not sure. I should know that, and I'll check with our staff.
Find out.
I'll check with our crack staff to see who owns Tiburon. So
I think the Champions Tour. Are you going to go to the Color Guard this year?
No, I'm not.
In Tucson? No, that's coming up, isn't it? Pretty soon, in the next month or so.
Yes.
But you're not going? Because you've gone in the past to that.
I've been so many times out there, yeah.
The Champions Tour is really, I mean, there's so many, just even looking at the leaderboard here from the Chubb, is so many familiar names. Whether you go down to the bottom of the leaderboard, which is Ian Woosnam, but Jay Haas and David Duval, Brad Faxon, Jess Sloom. I mean, we've known these names for, it really is Dickie Pride, who's contributor on our show here.
Yes, pretty good. Very much. Yeah.
Opening round, 2 under in his opening round. David Toms, all those guys. These are guys that have been, you know, golfers, pro golfers for 40 years, right? You go back. Bernhard Langer, I mean, people, I don't think, appreciate Bernhard Langer like they should.
Incredible.
Bernhard Langer leads again, as I said, opening round, just shoots a nice little 64, which is, I'm pretty sure, is close to his age, is it not?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Isn't Bernhard Langer around 64? Let me look at it. Hang on a second.
I don't think so. Maybe look that up.
No, he is. He is 64.
He's 64.
He shot his age at 64. I hope to shoot my age if I make it to 97.
Exactly. Hey, Tiburon, by the way, is the Ritz-Carlton Golf Resort in Naples, Florida. Yeah. But Norman designed the two courses there.
Oh, okay.
But nowhere does it really say if he owns it or not. It's asked a lot, but it's not responded to. So,
Okay. Well, it's probably the Ritz would own it, I guess, would they not? Their property?
Not necessarily. I think it's managed by Troon.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know. I'll have to research that, and we'll answer that on the next show.
But I'm curious too.
Both golf courses are absolutely
gorgeous. Norman's going to play this whole thing too. You know, back to the Saudi back tour. Interesting how Norman's the guy they picked to kind of be the front of it. And
he took it in the shorts with the PGA Tour when all this went down back. When he started this mess,
like in the 80s.
In the 80s, yeah. He was like the goat, and that doesn't, not the good goat. He was the bad goat.
Yeah.
And so this is his, okay, in your face. Here we go again.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it might bring a lot of players in that can't get on the PGA Tour, that can't get on the Corn Ferry Tour.
Maybe.
So it may be good for golf in a way. I mean, let's face it. Do you go into your closet, and if you pull out clothing that's made in a country that we don't agree with their politics or their human rights violations, we don't like that. Do you just take that shirt and throw it away, or those pants and throw it away? No, you don't.
Yeah, not normally.
So wait a minute. We don't agree with Saudi Arabia. I don't agree with some of the people that I play golf with and their morals and things that they do. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to play golf with them. That's my opinion. So, I don't know. I don't know.
They do give guaranteed money, and let's say you are outside of the top, you're not Justin Thomas and Rory and Spieth and those guys, right? You're not Rahm. Who a lot of those guys, and that's the beauty, I guess, of the PGA Tour, is in a short window, a lot of these guys aren't even 30 years old, have already got rest of their life money, right?
I mean,
it can happen that fast. And most of it's endorsements. We know that they make a lot on the tour, but they don't make the money that LeBron James makes. They don't make Aaron Rodgers. They're not making $40 million in golf earnings a year. No. Right? So they don't make that money, but they get crazy endorsement kinds of money. They get, so they're making money that they're set for life before they're even 30 years old. So again, not a lot of sympathy that things aren't going well for them. But again, let's go down to the guys after 100 on the PGA Tour, the ones that are, if that new tour is going to say, we're going to guarantee you money, just coming to our tournament, you're going to get X amount. Is that a draw? Are they saying, well, you
know, sure it is. Sure it is.
I'm going to at least go and tell your wife and tell your family, we'll make so much money because I'm going to play in 30 events. And those 30 events will at least bring in $10,000 each event or whatever it is, right? That's $300,000. Okay, I know I've got $300,000 and I'll make more if I do well and I play well versus if I'm down at that stage of my career. I'm going to play in 30 events. And honey, guys, I don't know how many cuts I'm going to make, so I don't know how much I'm bringing in. That's kind of tough to budget your life, isn't it?
It really is. We know what the tie table says, basically. It's called the tie table. And it just shows you a breakdown of, you know, all the players and what they get down to the last player that made the cut. So we see that.
Yeah.
People would be shocked to see how little the 70th player makes or whatever.
In general sense, like at the Genesis, I would say you're in the ballpark of $15,000.
Yeah, pretty much.
Is about what they would make if you're in the bottom. And it goes up only by $1,000 increments. So whether you're dead last or 15th from last, there's only probably a difference of, $15,000. $15,000 to $30,000 total is what you get in there. Yeah. But you're getting something, right? You make the cut.
Well, you got to pay your caddy. You pay your transportation.
The guy that goes home.
You pay your
caddy's
expenses.
People don't realize that.
They have a lot of expenses out there on tour. And it's
not cheap.
You got to
pay for your caddy's hotel. You got to do all those things.
Yeah, it's not cheap to travel on the PGA Tour. I mean, we know that. Yes. We travel as media, and we get special pricing and all that. But it's expensive out there. It really is.
And by the way, they play. I remember stories talking with Scott Pinckney. I'll bring his name up. And Scott Pinckney's now back in the Korn Ferry Tour, but he gets into some different events. Well, Scott was with Steve Johnson and working with Steve Johnson, our good friend from Hank Haney Golf, as an instructor, and that was his golf coach. And so Scott was up on tour and playing well. And he's like all these guys. He's a very, very good golfer, but he was kind of struggling to make it. Well, I saw him at the tournament, I can't remember the name of it, but the one that was out in Napa, Frank, help me with this one. What are they, is it Safeway now or whatever, right?
Yeah,
out in
Safeway.
Napa? Yeah, okay. It's a different sponsor back then. But so Scott goes there. Well, Scott's staying at Days Inn. Luckily, you get rental cars. The tournament itself provides a car for every golfer, so you don't have to rent a car.
They have transportation if you don't want to drive.
Yeah, so he's got, but he had to find, so he's staying, well, as you were just referring to, those hotels all around the stop on the PGA Tour jumped their rates way up. So suddenly a day's in is not $89.
No,
it's $275.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, look at Augusta. God.
Yeah. So you're doing that for you and your caddy for Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, the practice rounds, the pro-ams. Then you get to you miss it on Friday and you're getting out. You got to change your airfare. You got to pay to change your airfare. So suddenly you seriously are out $6,000 out of your pocket. You don't make any money. You're losing $6,000 going to that tournament and not making the cut. And not to badger the point, but that to me seems wrong, right? You're like, okay, come on. I mean, the guys that play in the NBA and the NFL, A, don't pay expenses. They get on their own private jet the team provides. The team plane, they go here. The meals are paid for. They got a per diem. So when you're an independent...
To talk about that, though, Tim, the top 50 players or the top 70 players, the tour's going to tell you, and some will argue, that, well, they make money because they make cuts, play better.
Yeah.
And that was always Dean Beamer or Tim Fincham's answer. I'm sorry, not Dean, Tim's answer.
Yeah.
And they'd say, when they'd start all this about, well, guaranteed money, and he said, just play better.
Well, can that be the answer? Right?
I agree with you. I think we need to do something to help those players. It'll grow the game because it gets more people.
It doesn't hurt anything, Frank. You and I don't even notice a difference. The guys still miss a cut. They miss a cut. You still have the top 70 making it into the weekend you're playing.
Right.
It just helps them survive.
Exactly.
So it doesn't change our world at all, right? Yeah. So I don't care. And the money's out there. We're not going to kid anybody. The money's out there to do it. The difference is it's such an extreme because if you're that guy, right, you're trying to find a good rate at a day's in for you and your caddy. While you're going to the course, the limo pulls in with Tiger and Phil and DJ, who just got off their private jet at the private airport. Doesn't it's such a different world, right?
Well, Arnold Palmer was the first man to start that. You know, he flying his own plane into into tournaments and such.
But it's just such a difference that you don't really have in other sports too. And maybe that's, I don't know if Phil's going to say that, but maybe that's his point is, yes, I've been very blessed and I've been on the top of that mountain. But for the guys that aren't and the ones that are coming and going from the Corn Ferry to the PGA and trying to do all these things, let's make it a little bit better life for those guys. If that's what he's trying to do, I applaud that.
Absolutely.
I don't know if that's all of his point. Yeah, but if it is, I do think that's – because I saw it, again, firsthand with Scott Pinckney, and Scott's just a symbolic of thousands of other guys that come and go on the PGA Tour. It's a gut-wrenching, challenging – and he wasn't even married, didn't have a family. A lot of them do. That's a tough, tough phone call I got to think you make on Friday when you have to tell your wife again for the fourth tournament in a row, I missed the cut. And you're going, okay.
Come home and get a job, honey.
I'll see you tomorrow. Yeah. And when do you decide, right?
That's a strain on any relationship, whether it's girlfriend, wife, family, whatever. It's a strain. Yeah. And families are usually picking it up for the younger players, too. Families and
trying to help.
Friends. Yep. And I mean, they're looking at everybody. Can I have 500, 200, 300? They're begging for money to help stay on tour to make
versus,
their way.
Versus the young guys in the NFL and the NBA who are paying their family and buying houses for mom and dad.
Well, hell, the NCAA right now.
Yep. Giving you money if you're a player.
Yeah.
Giving you some money to
the NCAA.
So the top ones are making $1 million in their licensing and image agreements. So, So that's all I'm saying is that if that's the culmination of what Phil's doing or trying to use the Saudi money to better the world of the PGA Tour, I think that's okay. I think there are ways to make that better. And just saying to me, that's, you know, let him eat cake. Play better and you won't have to worry about that. Okay, really? You don't think I'm trying to not miss
a
cut?
That was, Tim, you know? It was kind of that way, too. He just,
Well, it just comes, that's what I'm saying. And maybe that's Phil's point.
But if I were Phil, I wouldn't say I'm just using the Saudis to make the tour better.
No! I don't know why he said that.
Great. Phil, where's Phil? He's not at Riviera. Holy well, he's not at Honda. Well, has anybody seen Phil? Last we saw, he walked into this Saudi Arabian restaurant.
He was taken off in a jet, and we never heard the jet land.
He was watching the TV series Ozark and got on the jet.
You got to ask yourself, because, again, part of the story is that he and some other golfers paid attorneys to basically write the business plan for the new tour.
Who were the other golfers that did that?
He didn't say.
He won't say either.
Yeah. So he's sitting there saying, okay, and I've got 20 guys that want to play. So on the one hand, I'm recruiting. I'm helping fund the startup of this. At the other hand, I'm saying, does anybody really want to play for those guys? Does anybody respect that family or that country? And, oh, by the way, I don't even know if I want it to succeed. I just want to use it as leverage for the PGA Tour. Whoever on the other side hears that and goes, oh, thank you, Phil.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's why, we want
to. By the way, we'd like for you to come over. We want to buy you dinner.
So I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. It's going to be crazy.
It is really interesting to see. In the meantime,
I may have to go to the Honda.
The world keeps spinning and golf keeps.
To go.
just to find out what's happening.
Yeah, just to see the carnage. What's going to happen?
Well, actually, we should. We do have a relationship with the director, right?
Yeah, Ken Kennerly.
Let's get him. Let's get him on next
week.
Well,
I think that I'll give him a call over the weekend and tell him
we'd like to talk to you to see. Not that he's necessarily involved in that level.
He might not want to discuss that.
Maybe, but it's worth trying.
Well, Ken's a good guy. I mean, he's.
Yeah, he doesn't have to name names or put a finger, but just to say, what's this mean? I mean, it's, he's a guy who's certainly in a different level in a different spot than you are. And I am with the media part of it and the players are with the player. He runs a tournament, has for years and years.
Yeah.
But he's got to be on the inside of no.
Well, this is one of the oldest tournaments on the PGA Tour, the Honda, one of the oldest sponsorships.
And it would affect a guy like that who would maybe say, I'm going to lose my top 30 guys from what I normally get in my field that are going to go play in that. Heck yeah, he cares about that.
Well, sure he does.
If that's the way it would.
Well, that's, and there's been a big change in the schedule. So that's why Honda is where it is this year, which has affected the field.
Yeah.
A lot of the big names aren't going to be there. So that's difficult. So, I'll give Ken a call, and we'll get him on the show. He's a good dude. It's a great tournament. Let me tell you, it is the best food in the media center on tour. It is the best. I'm not kidding. That media center, the chef, oh, my God. And that's the thing we get. As media, we get treated pretty doggone well out there.
Sure.
I mean, really well. So, you know, it's nice. And we get to play golf courses, the best golf courses in the world, for free and invited all the time. So we have some privileges that we're very thankful for, is my point. We don't take that for granted.
Yeah.
And I don't think the PGA Tour players take a lot for granted. I mean, they've worked hard to get where they are, even to be able to get out there and try. So, you know.
Well, it's a unique sport. And even the way that it's structured, I'm okay with it being different. I'm not saying you have to make it the NBA and the NFL and the other leagues. It doesn't have to be the same thing. That uniqueness is neat. All I'm saying, I think there are some fairly minor changes that could still make it
a few tweaks, a better
life. Because let's be honest, Frank, if you had a son who's coming out of college, I say he's 21 years old, and he's a good golfer, but, you know, who knows? He's not Tiger. He's not Spieth. He's not won a bunch of junior amateurs and all these other things, but he wants to play in a PGA Tour. You would have certainly serious concerns, and the things we've talked about would be things you'd bring up to Frank Jr. and say, you realize that it's really competitive, and you do realize that you don't make any money. You're going to have to actually come out of pocket. All those things we talked about, you'd say to them, this is what you have to think about. You wouldn't have that conversation if they're a really good basketball player to play in the NBA about how broke they might go playing in the NBA. You're like, no, you're going to just make money. You're not going to lose it. You're going to just make sure you're smart with it. It's a whole different animal when you're talking about playing golf because, as you said, they almost go around with a hat at the local club and see who puts the money in there so that they can go try to make it on the tour, right?
Well,
so guys will give them $1,000 here, $1,000 there, and get a piece of the action.
I was one of the sponsors of a young guy years ago on the Nationwide Tour.
Yeah.
And he didn't make it. I mean, and it's a no payback. You don't have to pay us back if you don't make it. You pay us back if you make it. So, great young man, great golfer, had a lot of fun.
What a weird way to make a living, right? Fabulous player.
Couldn't make it.
Yeah. But they all are, aren't they?
Yeah.
They all are.
They are. It is competitive.
You can go tomorrow.
The Korn Ferry, let me tell you, for our listeners, go out to a Korn Ferry Tour event. Go out to Epson. It used to be Symetra on the LPGA, the Epson of Tour event. Go to one of those and watch those players who are working their way to get to the big show.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, are they great players.
They all hit the ball 380 yards. They're all great.
They chip. They're fabulous.
And if you look at their credentials, they're going to tell you that they played at – you know, Alabama, and they played at Oklahoma. They've got credentials. It's like, I did just pick up the game yesterday, and yet they can't make it. A lot of them can't make it.
No.
And I'm okay with it being competitive. That's like, I'm not saying everybody who wants to play should play professional golf. I get that. I'm just saying if you do make whatever it is that they determine, you make it through tour school, you do whatever, you're on there, then let them make a living at it, right? Let them somehow survive and not be... That's all. And maybe this will happen because of, you know, I'm looking at the leaderboard here and the whole field for the Genesis. There's all kinds of names on here that you might know or I might know, but a lot of them, you really would have no idea. I'm just randomly looking. I don't know who Michael Brennan is, right?
Yeah.
I don't know who Sepp Straka is. I mean, I couldn't pick him out in a lineup. Hank Laboidia. I mean, these are all names that guys are playing. They're professional golfers, right? I don't know. And that's a lot of them. I mean, so I could keep going through the
list. Bryce Garnett. Do you know Bryce Garnett?
No.
Lucas Herbert?
You know what? I love the fact that if he had one hot week and wins the Genesis, I would suddenly know who those guys – I mean, that's cool. I'd know who Lee Hodges is, but I can't tell you who Lee Hodges is right now. So that's kind of the thing I think that they're trying to go for is those guys need to at least have – a chance to make a living, even if they are a lesser known and you don't have big sponsor money and all the other things, you get, you know.
Taylor Pendrith. Do you know Taylor Pendrith? Davis Riley from Hattiesburg, Mississippi?
I don't.
I mean, David Skins from Lincoln, England? Grayson Sigg?
Like, Wyndham Clark at the Genesis opened with a – am I looking at this right? No. Oh, I seriously just hit the wrong thing on my.
Oh well, it's our point.
You don't know who they are.
There's a different field at the Honda this year. Totally different than normal.
Yeah.
Tell you, watch Gary Woodland. He's playing. Gary Woodland could really do something at the Honda. So
yeah.
Davis Love the Third's playing in it.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, he is.
What did he shoot?
Well, it's next week. The Honda.
Oh, the Honda. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about Genesis.
The Honda Classic.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I love watching Genesis, by the way. It's such a pretty course, isn't it?
Oh, it's gorgeous. Absolutely. Well, it's Riviera Country Club.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, anybody that would have me as a member.
I would never join the club.
I would never join that club that would have me as a member. Who said that?
isn't this Groucho, right?
Groucho Marx, yeah.
Isn't this the course too? And I've not played, obviously.
No, Brooks lives on this golf course, by the way.
But isn't this the course that the first hole, or is it the 10th hole, you tee off above a hedges, like a row of hedges, and there's like people below you, like the tee box for the back tees.
Well, you have that too at
you have to hit over the head. Yeah. At where?
Eastlake has something similar to that.
But isn't that Riviera? Am I thinking right?
I believe it is.
Like,
yeah.
On the first hole, I think you hit over.
It's been a zillion years since I played Riviera.
Yeah, you hit over. So when you watch today, they hit over hedges. it's just a unique course. I mean, hey, you know, who puts hedges on the first
by
in
the
front
way,
of the tee box?
Before we go, we have a friend, good friend here in Nashville, who has taken a new position, and she will be with the Gary Sinise Foundation as an executive with the Gary Sinise Foundation.
Okay.
And they're moving their headquarters from L.A. to here. Gary's building a home here, and so we're going to have Gary come on the show. Gary Sinise, you know, Lieutenant Dan. Everybody knows him as Lieutenant Dan from Forrest Gump.
Actor, but, been in a lot of movies.
Yeah, a lot of movies. Great actor, great humanitarian.
Apollo 13.
Yeah, Apollo 13.
He was the astronaut who thought he had a cold. They thought he had a cold, and they didn't let him go up. And I think Kevin Bacon went instead, or you know, playing the astronaut.
Yeah.
And that was Gary Sinise who had to stay back and then
save him in
the module, and try to tell them what they had to do to fix it so they could get home again. So that was Gary Sinise. Yeah. Good actor, really good.
Lieutenant
actor.
Dan, you don't. And got he's no
very
legs.
He's very involved with the military as well.
Very much so. He does a lot. I was supposed to. Luckily, luckily it didn't happen for Gary. After I did the Greenbrier, remember I told you they had invited the general who heads it up, had invited me to Washington to do some MC work and do a show there with Gary Sinise during the big 4th of July celebration. And, of course, COVID came about and all that, and a lot of that got canceled. So I was disappointed that I didn't get to go up and work with Gary Sinise because everybody says he's such a great guy. But now we're going to find out firsthand.
Okay.
So that's going to be great. So
nice.
We're going to have another great resident, along with Jim Nance, who lives here in Nashville now, has a home here. A lot of folks have moved here. Nash Vegas, baby. Nash Vegas. Anyway, enough about Phil and all that. It's all going to work itself out somehow, some way.
Yeah.
We just hope that it's for the better for everybody. So,
well, we'll keep everybody involved and hearing about it. So just make sure you tune into our show and listen to our podcast, because we'll give you the latest that we know about what's happening, because it is it's a hot topic and people are curious about what's the latest and greatest happening there. So we'll when we know more, you'll know more. And like I said, maybe next week we'll get the tournament director on at the Honda to tell us a little bit more about what's happening. So
And our thanks to the French Lick Resort, by the way, frenchlick.com. Check it out. You got to go. The weather's getting really nice up there, and the Donald Ross course and the Pete Dye course are beckoning, and you know, you enjoyed those courses when we were there.
Oh my gosh,
they're awesome.
A lot of fun.
And the hotel and the spa and the stables and everything, and the casino and everything they have. I did pretty good in that casino, by the way.
Did you?
I didn't. I lost everything. IRS lost a ton of money. Don't send me that thing.
Forgot to say that.
Yeah. Oops. Anyway, thank you to the French Lick Resort for being a great sponsor, and also thank you to Club Corp. Go to clubcorp.com and become a member for a day. You can be a member anywhere. If you join one club, you're a member at all their clubs. So clubcorp.com, Tim's a member, I'm a member, and we love our friends at Club Corp. We're going to have some fun with a new tournament on the PGA Tour Champions that Club Corp is sponsoring that's going to be held in Dallas, and we'll talk Dallas-Fort Worth area. We'll talk more about that soon.
Club Corp Classic.
Yes.
Very unique format, too, because it's going to be a bit of a Pebble Beach-ish thing. They're going to have celebrities competing alongside the Tour Champion players.
Have we been
asked? They're going to be playing a Stableford. So
they're
going to have a different scoring among the celebrities. So it's kind of a unique tournament.
We need to be there on one of the tee boxes. So you need to talk to your folks over there, Tim. You're in Dallas.
Let's see
what we can do for that, and I'll fly over, and we'll hang out and have some fun.
So you're saying you want to work at the tournament?
Yeah, why not? It'd be fun.
I don't know.
That's being media. It's not a lot of work. You know better than that. We have a lot of fun when we go out on tour.
Yeah.
But that would be fun. And they won't throw beers like they showered Amanda Baleonis with beer on number 16 at the WM. So anyway, that's we want to thank those two great sponsors. Also, our other sponsors, please patronize them because they give us money when you do. So we like that a lot.
Well, check us out next time, and we do appreciate everybody for listening here on Golf Talk America. Join us in all the different venues that you can, wherever you find your podcasts, Spotify or Google, you'll find us right there, Golf Talk America. We've been doing it for years, and we hope to do it for a lot more years, too, all because of you. Thank you for joining us. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews, and remember to be here next time on Golf Talk America. See you.